Fun fact. Why did I say it like that? I'm going to stick with it.
Okay.
About 11% of the population of the Philippines, which is more than 11 million people, actually work overseas. And so in the United States, the Filipinos, like the Filipino population, are the second largest Asian American group, second only behind the Chinese. And that, I don't know, immigration, cool things. People, damn. Lots of people came to North America.
That's a lot of Filipinos.
That's actually a lot of people. 11% yeah. of the population of the Philippines.
Yeah. I wonder how they keep, like, what the metrics are, or like what the
probably just lots criteria of is for census that. Things. Like, you know, when you do your census, you have to be like what they'll ask you what your ethnic background is and things like that. So, you know, this is probably true. Just a ballpark number too, because I feel like a lot of people don't fill those out. So
yeah,
you're always missing some part of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Hi! I'm Leanne.
I'm Tammy.
And you're listening to Incrimination. Changing it up. We're both really tired, if you can't tell. We're both wrapped up in blankets. And we're ready to podcast.
It's a Sunday night. Before Monday.
Before getting back to work. And adulthood.
Yay.
Like, this is sort of an aside, probably not podcast related, but I'm like, I like my job.
Yeah.
It's still, I think, just being an adult and like trying to figure out, like, wow, this is the rest of my life.
Oh, you're hitting that phase.
I'm hitting that phase. I'm just like, oh, fuck.
That was me for a little while. And
it's rough. Yeah. I'm just kind of like, the past week, I think especially being in a new city too, where, this is like no one's putting an expectation on me. It's more of like my own thoughts where I'm like, I feel like I should be having fun. I feel like I should be enjoying myself. I feel like I should be going out more and like, like living my life or whatever. But I'm like, I'm also like, while I'm doing that and while I'm going out, I'm also fucking depressed. Like,
aww.
Like, I'm enjoying it, but it's also just sort of like, holy shit, I have to sort of rebuild my community here.
Yeah.
And so that takes time, right?
Because yeah,
my entire freaking community, like all my friends and everyone are in Edmonton. Like, yeah, I have some friends here, but they're like far as well. They're not like in downtown. It takes a while.
Yeah, not everyone's like centralized.
Yeah.
No, but even in Edmonton, your friends were all over the place. It took a little while, but I think
yeah,
you're just used to that commute.
Yeah, and now I'm like,
I think we're also like navigating a post-COVID, or I guess we're still in COVID, but like a yeah. post-COVID world where we have lost the ability to communicate properly with each other in social yeah. settings.
Yeah. It's really hard. And I'm also really tired when I go out yeah. and like have to communicate with people.
Yeah, I can't. My social battery runs out very fast.
Yeah. Like, maybe in 2 hours is pretty good for me. But then, yeah. like, after that, I get home. I'm like, holy fuck, I need to...
It's only, like, a certain group of people, like, the people that I've talked to throughout COVID,
yeah.
that I can, like, bear speaking with for more than, like, an hour. Anything more than yeah. that, I'm like, whoo.
That's also why I haven't been on, like... I've been on one Hinge date, but I can't. Like, I think that's one of the main things is that it's so... Mm-hmm. I'm just so drained.
Mm.
And maybe it's just because, like, the people don't excite me, which is...
Oh, no.
But I'm like...
Yeah. But, yeah. And it's so hard to know, like, who you're going to click with before you yeah. go on a date.
Yeah. So you kind of have to go to, like, figure it out.
Yeah.
But I'm also, like, the type of person where... I don't want to waste my time. No, that sounds
dating's
bad,
such a waste of time.
Yeah.
I am not in the dating game.
Yeah, I'd rather watch anime. I'm sure you'd rather watch like K-pop videos.
I would 100% rather watch K-pop videos. The amount of yeah. serotonin I get from watching like clips of, not even like a full video, just like clips of a video is just so yeah. like pew, my brain is just all tingly in the good ways.
Yeah, I started watching Haikyuu. Actually, I shouldn't say I started. What's that? I finished
the volleyball.
The volleyball one. Yeah. Okay. And I really liked it. I didn't think I would like it that much, but I really I got into it. So I finished all of it in like 2 weeks, because it's me. So I finished all of it in 2 weeks, and then I read Friday and Saturday. I just read the rest of the manga. It was I think another 120 chapters.
Dang.
And I just stayed in bed reading it and listening to the soundtrack from the anime. Oh,
okay, but anime music is so good.
So good.
I love so anime good. Music. I have a Japanese playlist just full of anime songs, and it's it puts you in a good mood.
Yeah.
Even if the songs are depressing.
Dude, I just felt like I was back in junior high.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, I've missed this. Like, this is what I did as when I was young, whatever. Yeah. But I was so happy. I was just living it up. So yeah.
I don't think I watched any anime in a long time. It's been a hot minute since I've watched anything. Yeah. I kind of want to again, but I also don't have time.
I know. It does take time.
Yeah. Especially with me, I get where you're coming from. For me, anime is really easy to binge. I don't know what it is about anime, but it's different from regular TV shows.
And I also get emotionally attached to badly. Anime.
Yeah.
So it's not just me, because I messaged Leon and I was like, why do I feel so sad today?
Dude, I cry so much watching anime.
Me too.
Anyway.
Okay, that was a really big aside, so you can feel free to cut all that out.
No, let's include it. That's part of our Asian culture, you know?
Yes, it is.
Asian American culture is enjoying anime and listening to anime soundtracks. I guess it's a lot more mainstream now to watch anime.
Yeah, it is. It's good. That's why it's quality, quality animation, mm-hmm. quality storytelling, mm-hmm. and quality characters. I love it.
Yeah, I think the difference between American animation and Asian animation is that they can handle really fantastical scenery, but with heavy topics in anime versus I feel like adult TV or adult animation is usually not that pretty in American. Or is very meant for children, you know? But anyway. Mm-hmm. Do we have anything to talk about before?
The episode...
Just the Never Jaded pod recently.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will be posting about that on our Instagram later this week, probably, when I find some time. Or next week, because honestly, I'm so swamped this week. I leave for Paris on Friday.
Right.
And I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm. Also, I saw in your schedule that you still have to study, too, while you're there.
Yeah. Because I am a reckless human being and I booked my flight 3 days before my final. So I'm doing my final in Paris. But it kind of works out because the final's at 6 p.m., which is a good time for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of who I am as a human being. Yeah. I function better in the p.m.
Yeah.
Than in the a.m. versus it would be 10 a.m. here. So it works out. I will be not sleeping on the plane. I will be forfeiting my sleep to studying so that I can still have an enjoyable time in Paris and then get fucking buck wild afterwards.
Good. That is all, that's all you need. As soon as you're done, you're getting fucking buck wild. How long are you there for?
I'm there for just over a week. So okay. I land on Saturday in France, I land, and then I leave France the Sunday morning.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. I'm also making a stop at Ibiza. It'll be so much fun.
Yay.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Really exciting.
Got all your vaccine passport stuff with you?
Oh my god, no. The French government hasn't given me my QR code and I'm a little stressed about it. But we're probably going to have to stop by the pharmacy when we get there to get our paperwork and everything. If they don't send it to us by the time we fly. My friend went a few weeks ago and she said she received her documents the day of her flight. So hopefully that happens. And if not, we'll just...
Hopefully.
We'll play it by ear. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. It'll work out.
Yep.
It's fine. All right. I'm ready for the case. We had a long chat.
Yeah, sorry.
So if you remember from about 10 minutes ago, we mentioned that this case will be in the Philippines.
Yes.
I originally was going to do one case, and I ended up only being able to find two articles on the entire internet about this case.
Jesus.
So I'll just read one of the articles, because the articles were like two sentences long each. Mm-hmm. And the only name given to this man who committed this crime was Andangan. Both of the newspaper clippings that I found actually said the exact same thing. So
nice.
From the Morning Leader, October 27th, 1921, Manila. A Moro named Andangan becoming suddenly insane in Cotabato, island of Mindanao, ran amok, killed seven members of his family with a bolo, and then ended his own life. Andangan's family consisted of eight daughters, one son, and two grandsons, their age ranging from 1 to 25. And there's a few words that I didn't know in this two-sentence paragraph, but I thought it was a good opportunity to learn some Filipino vocabulary. Mm-hmm. So according to Oxford Languages, a Moro is a Muslim inhabitant of the Philippines, which is interesting because I've never heard of like a country distinguishing like Muslims a certain way and like Americans using it, if that makes sense. Because it was in an American newspaper.
Oh.
But they use...
Yeah, but they use the vocabulary or like the language from Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wasn't sure if this was like a certain group of Muslims or what, but that's what Oxford says. And the other word that I didn't know was a bolo. So that, according to Merriam-Webster, it is a long, heavy, single-edged knife of Philippine origin used to cut vegetation and as a weapon. So he used a long, heavy, single-edged knife to murder his entire family.
That's intense.
And that's it.
That's it. Okay, that's the case. Cool. Thanks for listening. All right.
You can find us on Instagram. No. So I then looked at our list and I was like, okay, what other articles are there? Maybe I'll find another one from the Philippines. Mm-hmm. And I stumbled upon one called Mangayanon Buatong, but I think it's actually Butaog, one or the other. There was only two articles on the internet that I could find about this guy, and they were both spelled differently. So I don't know who's right here, but yeah, so I'm going to go with Butaog because that's how I've heard it, that name said. I found one article from the Gainesville Sun from September 21st, 1956. 1985, that was titled Cult Chief Poisons Filipino Villagers, Kills Self in a Jonestown-Style Massacre. So from there...
Wow, that's an intense headline. That is a very intense headline. Wow.
Yeah, I was like, okay, let's do this case. So if you can't guess already, this episode's going to be quite short. But from that article, I was able to be a little more specific with my searches, and I found another article that was slightly more detailed, but yeah, so there's only the one from the Gainesville Sun and another article from AP News. I did see a video of someone talking about the crime from the Philippines. Their name is Martin Rules, gay detective, who is a gay YouTuber. who talks love to that. Crime while they do their makeup.
Love that. There are so many people on YouTube who, like, talk about true crime while doing their makeup.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, like, a crazy phenomenon that we love.
Yeah, there's that other girl that follows us. Her handle is, like, Makeup Exhibit. And then the other day...
Oh, yes.
The other day I was doing research... When I was doing research for the pork bun murders, I found another girl. I can't remember her name now, but... Like, it's just a thing, I guess. It's a niche. Do your makeup while talking about true crime.
Yeah, I don't know. It reminds me of that TikTok where, like, there's people, like, getting ready, where, like, putting on makeup, and it's like, her ears were cut off, her arms were cut off, her legs were cut off. You know that audio?
Yes.
But anyway.
Yeah, so I just wanted to shout out Martin Rules because they are the only other YouTuber that, or any other content creator that I could find that was talking about this case. And so their video was actually, a good portion of it was in Tagalog, so I didn't understand a good amount of what they were saying, but I was able to like pull the names, and so my pronunciation will be a copy of what Martin said in their video. Mm-hmm. So if I butcher it, I'm sorry, I tried my best, but shout out to Martin if you're Filipino and you understand Filipino or understand Tagalog, feel free to go follow them. I will be tagging them on our Instagram as well. Also, their makeup in the video was like really nice. It was like a natural looking smoky eye with like some orange color. It was really pretty.
Love it.
I don't know much about makeup, but I thought it looked really nice.
That's nice.
So, yeah. So directly quoting from the article, a religious leader had fed poisoned food to dozens of people in a remote village after failing to make money grow on a tree, then killed himself. So that was the subheading of the article.
Could you repeat that after you?
A religious leader had fed poisoned food to dozens of people in a remote village after failing to make money grow on a tree, then killed himself.
Okay. Got it. That was a bit to process.
Yeah. So, Butaog was described as a religious leader and a medicine man. He had come to the village of Sinasa and chopped down a tree, promising the tribesmen of the village that its leaves, once they've dried out, would turn into money.
Unfortunately, it did not. I'm guessing, hey?
No. He then left for a few days, coming back saying that he had a meeting with the highest of gods on a mountaintop. He then mixed up a pot of gruel with his secret ingredient, an unknown liquid from a bottle marked with skulls and crossbones.
What is this, a movie?
Yeah, skull, that's what I...
crossbones?
That's the report.
Mm-hmm.
A total of 67 victims died.
Holy shit.
Including the tribal chieftain of the village. Yep, that's a lot of victims. 5 others survived by only pretending to eat the food given to them. One of those survivors was identified as Pininsan, who became a key source of information. I don't know why it was only him, but he's the only person that was, or the only survivor that was mentioned in the articles, and he was the one, like, feeding information to the detectives or whatnot.
Do you know why he didn't eat it? If you're, I guess you're gonna get into it.
But, yeah, so yeah. He saw the bottle.
Oh my. Oh my god. Okay. Keep going.
Because they lived in Sinasa, which was a remote village in the mountains, it was about 25 miles from the center of Davao City, which was the main, or the closest nearby city, and about 600 miles southeast of Manila. It wasn't until 11 days later that the crime scene was reached by officials.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's really remote then, hey?
Yeah, so 11 days of just dead...
rotting
dead
flesh,
people.
Basically.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
According to helicopter-borne soldiers, when they reached the mountainside village, they found bodies of the victims, men, women, and children, lined up on the floors as though they died there in their sleep, inside a long bunkhouse and 4 huts. They were unable to count the bodies at the time due to the excruciating stench.
Yeah, I can imagine, because that's a lot of people, too, like, just lying there for 11 days, holy fuck.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I don't know much about the Philippines, but I believe it is quite warm there.
That definitely would not help.
Yeah. I'm, like, I was just wondering, like, how those guys, like, the survivors, I'm guessing they probably left to go find help.
Yeah.
Actually, that makes sense.
Yeah. Because, like, if you stayed there, yeah, it would be so overwhelmingly, like, the stench is insane, hey?
Yeah. According to the article, it was the first time authorities were certain of the grisly event that neighboring tribesmen had reported, although officials were still trying to sort out conflicting reports about what happened. Generoso Bangunan, a local cultural minorities officer in Davao City, interviewed the five survivors and later gave a detailed account of how Butaog fed them gruel and saying, after eating, go to sleep so that when you wake up, you will not remember you were human beings because you will be gods.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he was, I mean, according to the title too, it feels like he was trying to compensate for the fact that he couldn't grow money on tree. So he was like, let me kill you so you guys all ascend.
Yeah. Or he was like really embarrassed and just
pulled the poison out. I'm still dead at the fact that like his bottle literally had a fucking skull and crossbones on it. Like, oh my god.
This was in the 80s, right? 1985. Mm-hmm. So like, did he like draw it on with a marker or like, was it printed out or?
Yeah. I'm dead.
Like, I really wanted to know what the substance was that he used because it seems like cyanide or something, but it's so hard to tell. According to Pininsaan, the survivor, some of the victims did not know what was in the food, so they consumed it not knowing that they were going to die. But him and four others, however, they took their share, pretended to eat it, and then spat it out and laid down pretending to be asleep.
That's really smart.
Yeah.
That's just like pure survival instinct at that point too, I think.
Yeah. I don't know how long they had to lay there. Until they were like in the clear, yeah. You know, it's so weird how like they were so afraid,
mm-hmm.
or that's like the vibe that I'm getting is that they were afraid of being found mm-hmm. out. I don't know, but they had to like pretend to die or whatever.
Yeah.
Included in the victims were Butaog's wife and two children, so he actually brought them with him. Ages 2 and 4 years old. His wife and children actually refused the food, so he hacked them to death.
Yep, makes sense.
He then stabbed himself in the stomach with presumably the same knife he used on his family. So Bangunan, the officer, brought a group of 8 men, including members of the military, up to the village by hike. He said that the group had to stop about 300 yards from the bodies because of the stench. He sent 3 men in to count the bodies and quickly left. There was no description as to how they dealt with this or what was done with the bodies afterwards. Like, I couldn't find any information mm-hmm. on what they did with it. And just from, like, Google searches, the village of Sanasa doesn't exist. Like, I can't find
it. I just got chills because I was like, holy fuck. What? I guess it's just such a small village.
Yeah.
Or it's a ghost town. Or because everyone died, they're just like, let's wipe it off the map.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's creepy. Fuck, I'm getting chills.
let me Google Maps it real quick before I like... Yeah, nothing. Nothing. When I look up the Philippines on Google Maps, there's nothing. So I don't even know where to start looking for this place. All I know is that it's 600 miles from Manila. And it's mm-hmm. near to Davao City. But other than that, like, I don't know where this is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
And I guess to kind of wrap up the case, this is a direct quote from the end of the article from AP News. This is an old article, has some outdated views. I won't get too into it, but they said that...
Yeah.
Many tribal groups in the Philippines have been converted to Christianity by missionaries, but some continue to hold animistic beliefs. There was no indication what religion the villagers practiced. So.
That's kind of like spooky, hey?
Yeah. I don't know. Wow. I thought it was like kind of like shady not to acknowledge that this was like a crime, and rather it was like a ritual of like religious stuff. Because it seemed like Butaog was an outsider, or at least that was my impression. I don't know, maybe he was part of the village and just a kooky old man,
did some kooky old things,
but we'll never know because, you know, everyone's dead.
That's crazy though. I guess like they just like found all the bodies and then it does seem like it was something. I don't like calling it a ritual, you know, that doesn't feel, because rituals are not this.
Mm-hmm.
This is...
Moida.
It's, Yeah, it's moida.
It's moida.
Yeah, I don't feel like I would call it a ritual. It does seem like more of a religious-driven moida.
Mm-hmm. Also worth noting, so how I found this case, I was looking at the list of rampage killers in Oceania and Southeast Asia on Wikipedia.
Very specific search, but yes.
How else do you think we find these articles?
Yeah, you're right.
The Philippine actually takes number one, so Sinasa with 67 killed, or 67 victims.
Mm-hmm.
They also took third place with 32 kills, and fourth place with 23 kills. So in the top five, in all of Oceania and Southeast Asia, Philippines takes three of those spots.
Yeah.
But also has some of the least information available about each of the incidents. The third and fourth actually say unknown under the perpetrator and have question marks on,
like,
the Wikipedia lists.
Yeah. It goes to show, like, how important journalism is, I think,
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, if you don't have good journalism or if you don't have people who are trained to do that, then you don't get a lot of coverage on things that should matter. And, you know, you would think you'd want to know who
mm-hmm.
did something like that, who went on rampage killings and things of that sort.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that we don't have, like, the stories available. Like I said, Martin Rules was the only other content creator that covered this case. And honestly, I'm pretty sure they used the same articles that I did.
Yeah.
Because there's just...
Because it's the only thing that's available, yeah. right?
But it is unfortunate that we don't have more details on this case, because I think it's really interesting. I really wish we knew, like, the relationship between, you know, Butaog and the rest of the village, and,
yeah,
you know, like, how he came to be the medicine man that he was, and how... Yeah. The bodies were treated. Were they turned into a memorial? Were they, like, cremated? Were they buried? Like, are they still there? Like, we don't know anything about it, you know? It's just unfortunate.
And, like, whether they had any family outside, like, did anyone, was anyone traveling? Mm-hmm. I'd love to hear more from those people who survived. I mean, I guess it is a lot to ask of them to, like, talk about
it. Yeah, that's so traumatizing, seeing your entire village just wiped out in front of your eyes.
Yeah, that's just so sad, hey?
Yeah. Another thing just to note was this case was compared a lot to Jonestown. Mm-hmm. Like, this wasn't the only article where it was compared to Jonestown, but just as a reference, Jonestown happened in 1978, so 7 years mm-hmm. before the Sinasa Village incident. That was 900 victims, but I always wonder, like, did Butaog know about Jonestown? Was he inspired by Jonestown?
Or is it just this type of shit? Okay, this is more me being very opinionated, but this type of stuff happens because of the way that people, like, the road that certain people go down when they're, like, they feel like they're powerful, or they feel like they are the person that everyone should be looking up to, or mm-hmm. they feel like they have some sort of, like, higher power over everyone else, uh-huh. like they're in a position of power.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, when you, basically, when there's, you, it's like the cult mentality when people worship this one person. I want, uh-huh. like, yeah, so again, like, it'll be interesting to go back and see what the relationship was between him and the villagers as well. Yeah. But
unfortunately, we don't have that, so.
Because I feel like he wouldn't have known if they're in such a remote mm-hmm. part of the country.
That's true.
And it's 1978, there's not really.
No, it's 1985.
Oh, 1985. Yeah, so
Jonestown's
7 years
happened
later.
In 1978. But this is a time where, like, printing presses were available, newspapers
That's
were
true.
Available. Like, this news clearly traveled from the Philippines to America.
Yeah. Yeah.
But...
So maybe he did hear about it.
Yeah,
so like,
I don't
I'm
know.
I'm gonna do the same thing.
Yeah, it's... I really do wish that we had more information about the case, but...
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got for
That's
you
it.
Today. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Tammy, and thanks for the chat at the beginning about anime and all that good stuff.
We love anime.
Yes. If you want to check out the source is the very brief list of sources that Tammy was able to use. You can check that out in our show notes at bit.ly/incrimination. And if you wanted to take a look at any photos,
there are no photos.
This case,
there are no photos from this case.
Or other cases, you know, we'll find a picture of the Philippines and put it up there.
There's zero photos from this case. For a good reason, I think.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But yeah, unfortunately. Maybe I'll post a picture of Martin.
Yeah, honestly, yes. But you can find all of that on our Instagram at incrimination.
Yep.
Anytime you want.
Actually, like, I don't know if you're into, like, horror manga, horror anime. But there's one called, it's called Suicide Circle. It's like a really fucked up manga. I think the manga is way better. The anime, they like twisted it to be like a crime, whereas like, or the movie was really fucked up. It was a live action movie, a live action adaptation, and it was super fucked up. I do not recommend anyone watch it because it was horrible. But the manga was really interesting in my opinion, and it like kind of fucked me up as an eighth grader to read it.
I mean, with a title like that, I can imagine.
But like the opening scene is spoiler, they are a bunch of schoolgirls and they're all like at this train station, right? And the train comes and like they all hold hands and they all jump in front of the train, and there's one girl who survives, and it kind of like follows
her story.
Yeah, but that like scene of her like waking up and finding all of her friends dead and she's like the only one alive, that's how like it kind of reminded me of this case, or this case kind of reminded me of that. With the survivors, Pinyin-san. But anyway, if you like that kind of creepy stuff, go read it. I thought it was an interesting read.
Yeah.
But also, it was a long time ago, and I don't really remember what happened in it.
Yeah. I feel like for our next anniversary episode, we should just do, like, a full thing of us just talking about anime.
Oh,
or, like, manga and stuff like that. I would love that.
Except I haven't talked about or, like, read or done anything related to anime in a while. So.
Yeah. I'm just getting back into it. Like, I honestly haven't done... I tried to start reading Demon Slayer, I think, a couple months ago, and I just, like, exam season came, and I just forgot about it. I'm probably going to have to start it again.
I'm in the thick of an exam season, so...
Yeah.
None for me. Also, I don't read. The most I read is textbooks
and
true crime articles.
Yeah. Like, love it.
I can't handle any more than that.
That's all you need.
Plus, K-pop is all subtitles, so my brain is already reading like 24/7.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks, Tams.
All right.